non-sport area. This year is the first year that they separated reading as its very own scored category. It's always been a subcategory of English, but for 9th, 10th, and 11th, where they do the ACT and the ACT Aspire, then reading is considered its own category. The other change is in the science. They no longer test according to the science course they are enrolled in. It's a 9th grade science, 10th grade science, 11th grade science, which ACT has always just been science, and now 9th and 10th is the same. So that's why some of those areas are grayed out and look a little different.
So according to this, English is improved connected.
Mm-hmm.
So we went from the 41 34 to 73. Okay.
So 41 was the state, 36 was Vanguard.
And we went to 70.
Mm-hmm.
This is great.
Yep, so the students that were
36.
Year ending 2018 in 9th grade were 36. Year ending 2019 in 10th grade were 73.
Okay. So if the state average is the same, it means we're 20 points above it.
And we'll see if the whole state improved as much as we did, if it was because of the test or what, but I... In the past, the state averages have not changed more than a percent or two, so it's not likely. So that is a new test.
It's a different
test. Mm-hmm. That was the first. So year ending 2019 was the first year that 10th grade took the ACT Aspire, 9th and 10th grade both, instead of the RISE or the SAGE.
Just so the numbers are comparable, it's a different test. It's like the previous, is that the 36 previous year on the black one?
So, not, sort of and sort of not. They said that they will still be able to use growth points because when they do growth points, they compare each student to their peers, and their peers took the exact same test this year as they did the following year. So growth points will apply. Proficiency, I don't know. We'll know more when we get the state numbers out.
This number is proficient,
right? Percent proficient.
Tell me again, you said we're using the ACT for what grades?
So only 11th grade takes ACT. 9th and 10th takes the Aspire Utah Plus, and it's ACT Aspire, which is an ACT prep test, and it does predict somewhat how that student will do on the ACT when they're a junior.
Is the Aspire test the one that the state tried for 1 year and they changed that, or which was that?
That was RISE, and that's 7th and 8th grade. The actual test won't change. The reporting platform is what's going to change.
So tell me, just real quickly, tell me what tests they're taking for each grade.
Okay.
And how long they've been using that test.
So 7th and 8th grade, this last year they took RISE. Before last year it was called SAGE.
Okay.
The test itself didn't change, the platform changed. 9th and 10th.
So the questions and data question was probably the same.
Right.
Questions.
So they've been using SAGE, they went to RISE last year, and they're going to continue that?
They're going to continue in the RISE platform, but they're going back to the reporting platform that they have with SAGE. But the test will still be in RISE. But the reporting platform of Questar that went with RISE was where all the problems were. So they're going back to Airways, which is who reported for SAGE.
So 7 and 8, you've been using RISE and SAGE, now it's called RISE.
But it's the same test.
Then for 9th
and 10th, changed this last year from SAGE to Aspire Plus. The Aspire Plus is 50% aligned with ACT standards, 50% aligned with Common Core State standards. 11th grade is ACT and has been for 3 years. Since we've, yeah.
These are state tests. Mm-hmm. These different ones, Rise and Aspire, for the 7th and 8th versus 8th.
That's a pretty big change.
And like I said, where it's a new test, we'll know more when we get the state numbers out.
Do we know when those state numbers will be out?
Right now they're saying that we should have them by the first week of December.
You don't test 12 years.
No, we are graded by our graduation rates from seniors instead of a regular state test.
So something's working or these numbers are... Is that...
It looks good. It's really hopeful. I worry about the reading on the 9th, 10th, and 11th. That feels really low to me for reading in those upper grades.
24 is pretty low. 34 might be scary.
Could be.
They've struggled actually in the past with actually reading.
Yeah.
Didn't they used to have those combined?
On the reading is students placing into English 10-10 this year was a little bit higher, and I don't know if they changed the test, the format that they are used to approve whether or not they get into English 10-10. But we have most of our 10th graders being approved, and also they're already tested in. And so it may be a difference of the test, or it could be the result of something we're doing.
So everything in English, ELA, except for 8th grade, went down.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you have everything go up so dramatically, then one grade goes down?
They actually went
from 25 to 30.
The same students went up, but the grade level went down from 32
to 30.
I mean, that was an improvement from the previous track for those students in 7th grade.
Yeah.
They went from 25 to 30.
So if you're looking at how the teacher did, though, if you feel like the teacher got 32 for sufficient 1 year and the following year 30.
So the 30 is actually these students last year that had 25, this year they got 30, it's actually the same students.
Yeah, the same students.
But the A grade level, right? Okay.
Yep.
Yes.
But if you follow the grade level across.
See, that might be more of the students. That's what I'm guessing.
Well, if you look at the students in other subjects, does it match?
The same students got a 78 and the same students got a 38 in science.
Strong math kids.
Yeah. Interesting. I'd still say we got to look and see what's about 8 or so long.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
That seems really, this is, some of those are state high, top 10% scores. And then depending on how high the state one might be.
Yeah.
Did you see that in the proficient, on the scores? The number of proficient?
On which?
On the ELA, because the students come back with their scores for the teachers.
I'm not sure, I guess.
So, can we predict this? Did we know that was going to happen?
No. I'm not sure.
Just the scores being that high.
You mean the teachers predicting based on pretest?
Based on how they were doing in school?
Well, no, typically after this, the test, the students know if they got a 4, 2, 3, 4.
Right. English is always delayed. The kids don't get the scores right when they submit.
Oh, okay.
But this year it was more delayed than normal because of the new
platform.
So this
is the first time a lot of people are seeing it?
Yeah. We have already sent student reports home to parents, but that was the first that we had them.
It seems like there'd be a lot of excited parents, too.
I know.
So,
We haven't actually had a lot of response from parents after they got the reports that I'm aware of, anyway.
Yeah, many
math should be worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Question,
we sent it home with students, and we sent home
every kid. Because I've been meeting with students, like some of them say they're getting it, and some of them say they're not.
So the initial reports went home with parent teachers when parents came here. Then they picked them up there. The rest of them were given to English teachers to send home because every kid has English.
So it's English.
I got these reports were sent home last.
In the last few weeks.
From last year?
Mm-hmm. We didn't have them until then. Yeah.
Is that because of the new platform?
Yeah.
I know. That's what I'm wondering.
Some of my kids got them and some didn't.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, each kid had a sheet for each subject. And they were all stapled together, the whole packet given to English teachers. I'll follow up with teachers, though, and see whose they have left. I can print another one. I have digital.
Each student has a master folder for the school that has a record of all their tests for every year. This is really happening. We should have a celebration.
Is this real?
Right.
Excellent.
They have that right.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
That's cool. I didn't hear that in the excellent section.
I guess I'm hesitant until I see the state numbers.
Yeah,
I'm hopeful.
It seems a long time to wait, doesn't it?
I know.
Maybe
there's
something.
The U.S.?
Yeah.
I'm
trying to figure
out what happened.
I think
I have digital and I can send it to you.
I think as long as we have a folder,
it does make sense to put in their permanent file, doesn't it?
Every permanent file for the student for every, especially state test final.
Yeah.
That would make this number a little more solid if we start picking up for the math proficiency.
And then the other thing I wanted to, sorry, I should have given this at the same time. I do have a form, there's a lot of blank. Just being this early in the year is a lot of it. This sheet here is where I'll be tracking benchmark scores for each teacher for each subject. And so far, we've had two teachers give a benchmark.
What does that mean?
So, if you notice, so if you follow the top teacher, you can see seventh number system. So, and then seventh expression and equations, geometry. So what it is the state breaks it down into categories for each subject. So there's four or five categories in each subject. So you'll see in English, there's reading informational, editing, listening, literature. And then they've created a benchmark from the item bank that are test questions that are very similar to what's on the end of your test. So the teachers give the benchmarks throughout the year to see where students' weaknesses and strengths are by those subcategories and know ahead of time where to give extra support. So I'll be tracking those on here.
On the top one, we've got two numbers in here. So the top one, this very good teacher got 70, her students performed at a 75% proficiency level in the number system.
Right.
We're going to do it for each one of those areas.
Right.
Is that just information that's been taught already, or is it on the entire year?
So on the benchmarks, it's up to the teachers as to how they use them. The English teacher that gave one wanted to do it as a pretest, and I think the score shows that's a pretest. And then, no, just for the one concept. So she gave the reading informational text benchmark as a pretest, And then she's going to be hitting that very hard over the next little while, and then she'll give form B of that same concept and see what the difference is, and we'll update the sheet. So we'll be able to see as we go how everyone is doing on those subcategories throughout the year.
And so it should be like a, well, we just finished first quarter, should be like a 25 to 40%, then mid-year about 50%, three quarters of the year should be 75%. By the time they finish that year, they should be 100% proficient. Is that
that's percent of students that are proficient, right?
That that's how many kids right now can pass it.
Concepts. So if they teach that whole concept this semester,
then
100% of them should know it.
If you do it before, then they'll probably know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So was the math used as a pretest, or was it just
It was after they had already taught it. And then they'll do reteaching and reassess on the 25% that didn't get it. But one thing that's really nice about this is as you put all the categories together, and the teachers track it with students. And so I just have the teachers and the teacher overall. The teachers have the students listed out, and so they can go across and predict where each student is proficiency as they combine all the benchmark scores. So it does give you some really good tracking data instead of waiting to the end. And so we'll be watching that very closely this year.
What would you have to do to get four teachers to use this?
So
give deadlines of when they have to have it done.
We asked that everybody give one no later than the first week of November, and just so that the ones that want to give it not as a pre but as a post would have enough time to get enough of the content that they can know how it went. But then after that, then they will be given more frequently. It won't be every 2 months because you just wouldn't have time. But the first one, then we did give them until the first week of November to have the first one given. We should, yeah.
Good.
Is this something we'll review each board meeting?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then next board meeting, maybe. I may or may not have state numbers on last year's. And if I do, then I'll fill that in on that and bring that as well.
So for these tests they did, so for example, the ELA, they got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different tests.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to try to spread them out throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. Well, and especially with the English, one thing that they have mentioned is they co-teach concepts. And so it can take a while before they're ready for the first one, but then they'll be able to do another one and another one much sooner than what it took to be ready for the first one.
So are there more subjects that are going to go on that summary?
So the other summaries that I put together is an Alex percent that shows mastery of math concepts, a reading plus that shows how students are doing on that, and then I'll also, and I didn't bring those here tonight, this early in the year we don't, I guess I do have Alex and I can make sure and bring that starting next time, but the Alex, the reading plus, and the Schmoop, but we don't have benchmarks for other subjects like social studies and health that we track throughout the year. We were working on an end of year. We can put together benchmarks as well. I haven't, but yeah.
So this is broken up by state.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they present it.
So like the top teacher, is that two different classes?
So each color is a different grade level. So the yellow is our seventh graders, blue is eighth,
And so the teachers that teach more grade levels, then they'll have a longer bar. Other than when you get down to science, which we're going to need to figure out the best way to do that, because we have a physics teacher that those students are going to be tested on chemistry, earth science, and physics, and have to figure out, and if he has kids half a year versus full year, and how to figure in the measurement of everything on that. We haven't figured that out yet. But science is where we need a huge focus. We've really struggled with our high school science, especially. If there are no other questions, that's all I have.
So this year we've taken a big turnaround of what our focus is and getting gotten going there, and our junior GPS done, the hunt done. We've made it a priority to have every single student met with and have them done by Christmas break. And so far we are on track. Everything's going well. You can see there's the three academic advisors, and Catherine Johnson just has a small percentage of them, but the most of them are going to be listed on myself in the spring. So the top one is a summary, and then there's ones separated by grade for each advisor, so you can kind of see what percentages. Having a GPS plan completed just means historical grades are entered. And so that is something that eventually I'd like to see a lot of these forms to be automatically updated. So we have to do this every semester, so you see this is the fall one. So in the spring, if we want anything to be accurate as far as what really happened, we would have to update the GPS plan again. But as of now, we plan on having one CCRP meeting, which is a college and career planning meeting, to go over their GPS plan and a few other things. And you can see the percentage of students that have the GPS completed, that have the form completed, and also signed by a parent. So all of those things should happen in that meeting with the parent. So they should be pretty close the same, except we do have a secretary updating the GPS plans, which is why that's a higher percentage than the others. But last year,
by this time.
In fact, last year it was told at the end of the year, but we still didn't have that done. So it's having these streamlined and the supporting measure of health. Another thing is I met with Suzanne today, and we were going over some attendance and kind of the best way to handle some different things. And we looked at our at-risk, we had a report that was due today for our at-risk population, and one of the categories to define the at-risk is in the attendance. And we had a large number of students that had over 200 absences for the year. And you know, we talked about what does that look like, five periods a day. If I didn't think, it was actually nine periods in a day. Think 120 absences were calculated, it's about, could be wrong on my memories or what I remember, but it seems like it was some of the, not the highest, but some of the high-end ones was about 20 absences per class period. And that wasn't the highest, that was probably the bottom of the at-risk, the thing that we kind of looked at. And then you look at also those same kids, and we had some of our students that had, I think our highest was 17 Fs in 1 year, quarter grades. And so I talked to Suzanne about the idea, you know, as far as counseling and doing our student success team. She told me to hold off upon it until we're done with the GPS plans. And so that is on hold at this point. And but that is, as she looked at the attendance for our daily average membership, with the truancies and the students that are arriving to school late, that's kind of our biggest absences, but also students that parents excuse to stay home and do daycare or babysit or whatever reason the students are absent, our absences are causing about, up to this year, this time of the year, it was about 28 to 30, about $30,000 in loss of funding based on. So to me, it makes sense.
Double that cost to loss of education.
You know, it would actually cover an employee's wages to someone focused on attendance. But and I don't know for sure what date set, if it was the full year, but I don't think it was. I think it was up until today. But I'm not 100% sure on that.
When we looked at the numbers for the, because the funding is based on average daily membership, if that's what continues throughout the year, we're looking at least 28,000 is what it's.
I think so. That was an estimate.
It was an estimate, but it was pretty.
Once we get the checklist that we're looking at for the teachers in place, I think it'll raise those students to the top.
And that makes sure that our attendance is taken, but it doesn't.
It's actually.
No, it's not. It's.
It's more of if the students from the athletic. What are you doing?
It's highlights.
Yeah.
It's just highlights and brings up that the teachers have to address it every week, and it gets sent up to the department.
And it's focused on the department.
The principal, and we'll have to.
And even getting some of that support in their counseling services.
Yeah, and I think
or as soon as we can get some of these reports to us,
that would be nice. And that's whoever's going to take some action. We'll make sure the teachers take action.
And then one of the things I did talk to Suzanne too, as far as employee contracts, and she was told me that we don't have those yet of the teachers. And that was something that I guess we're just waiting to hear. That's more of a question, I guess.
Yeah. We're getting close. Approving policies and procedures and the school I trust. So.
I realized that we didn't have copies of the committee. So what Suzanne had sent out looks like, I need to go check, I think the printer jammed again. These two are, let's see. Because they were not big change. All right, sorry. They changed the name of it a little bit. So, sorry, this one should actually. So, the new one that was created that says attendance policy that I didn't give you yet is supposed to replace the 4.2 absence and truancy policy. I matched those up wrong for those. So here, let me try again.
Sorry.
So this one right here, when they send them to me, I think they mixed up the numbers and I didn't match that. So this one wants to go with this one. So the stapled one, this one. Sorry. And then I believe I gave you a tardy policy that has the Vanguard logo and shield, which is the new one. And this would be the old tardy policy to No. There should be a 4.1. What should have happened was this one should have been called the same number as this. But when they sent it to me, I didn't notice the change. So, then they changed this one. But if you look at the updated date at the bottom, then that's.
So this is the 4.2 on this one is the old one.
Yes.
This is the new one.
Yes. Yes. Sorry, I didn't.
Reversed on this one.
Okay. I just settled 4.1, 4.2.
Does that mean they're not qualified for concurrent enrollment if they exceed 15?
So I think that was the intent, that that would be something they would look at when you're doing concurrent enrollment applications. That would be the guideline. At the end. He didn't flag the policies. So. Check and clarify.
Does that mean when you add all the periods, it can't be more than?
Because to me, it seems like it makes it okay for us to not assign it.
What's the question?
The vagueness on it says the 5 to 6 parties. Parents of contracted students may be assigned Friday study hall, Saturday school, or a 15-hour
will be assigned
that or that, right? Because is it we're gonna think about it?
Yeah, we might do one of them.
That's what it sounds like is we might do one of them.
I'm sure that's on purpose because it's
flexible.
It's kind of like what she did on the uniform change. If there's not an absolute, you know, it's, well, I don't know. I would guess she did on purpose, but I would check.
It's like the level logic.
And that's what
policies
I'm thinking.
Policies usually have a flexible word.
Yeah, maybe it depends on our feelings.
So it depends on what you
know.
Yeah, the same.
Anyway.
Depends on the situation, what's going on.
Depends on the situation, I think, is what it says. But
what is the situation?
When they can't get their locker open and that's why they're being late? Because they're a seventh grader?
So if you have a policy, then you can appeal the policy, you can appeal the rule, but you have to have a policy that's a seventh grader student. Otherwise, it depends on the mood of the person applying the tardy. That's kind of how it is right now.
If you don't have it, explain it, set clear expectations, and you have to direct the board.
If you go to Friday study hall or to Saturday school, how does that adjust your record? Does it make up for the tardy? Does it make up for absence?
As far as I understand, it doesn't. It just gives them the time. Most of the time when kids are tardy, then they're missing work or concepts, and so from what I understand, the goal is to help them make up that time.
It doesn't change
the record. It doesn't change the record. And
it doesn't, also doesn't say in here, is if you have 7 to 9, you're gonna have to go. But how many times do you have to go to make up for it? If you have 7 to 9, if you have 7, is there fewer than if you have 9? If there's 5, you have fewer than if there's 6? What's the equivalency?
Being assigned at that point, we can clarify the procedure. I would assume that if you hit 7, then you would be assigned a study hall or fine or however.
Or how many study halls is like one?
So when you hit 7, 1, when you hit 8, 1 more, when you hit 9, 1 more. But it's not clear in there that that's what it is.
Yeah. I don't know if I can put that through tonight.
I agree.
It's really fine. So, I need to get a story on the bench. I'll be pretty
fine. If the intention is to make sure that the student learns the concept that they missed, probably on that, they don't. And they may not. They may or may not, because they may not have got it when they're in class.
I wonder if we need the drafter here too.
Who's the drafter?
I think Bonnie put it together. Suzanne had given her some input and did review it, but I think Bonnie did.
So should we just write out a question?
So if you guys would like to, I made a few notes, but if you'd like to put your notes on your drafts and pass them back, then I can pass the information on.
Yeah, I think David will read this.
Always, yes.
So, I wonder if we could leave the review or the feedback open.
Okay.
For maybe a week or a week.
So, yes, if
come
you
up with a new draft and send it back out.
Get them back with your comments, then that would help us to get a better draft.
In the past, I heard a few comments on the three in passing. Is that what we're at right now, through between classes? Is that what we've been at for last year was 3 years? Yeah.
That's the passing time that we've been the most successful with as far as fewest tardies.
We actually ended up with more tardies with 5 because they had time to do more stuff.
They are a lot of
them in
the backpacks, right?
Yes.
So they bring them into the
classroom.
They
do bring their backpacks.
Do they bring them in, turn them over, or bring them to the desks?
This
depends
whatever
on the teacher.
Procedures are. Some of the teachers have like a table that they can leave them on. Some of them just have them put them by their desk. They've just found a way to make it work.
Yep.
How did that go in PTO?
I haven't heard anything about it since, so I don't know that it's a problem.
And my recommendation is to leave this open for comments and review.
Okay.
Maybe give a week and then come back with another policy and email that to the board.
If you would put your name on it when you submit it, if you can. So if there is a question about your comments, then we can make sure that we know who to talk to. But
so
we appreciate the input.
So we'll go on to the next vote is the school land trust.
Eric is the head of the school land trust. I don't know. So the committee met and reviewed. Every year we put together a plan to use the school land trust funds, and that plan is put together in the spring and reviewed, and then in the fall we are required to submit what actually happened and how that impacted the plan. So we just barely updated the report, but we do need to have the boards also needs to review it. This is how the expenditures came out. We had budgeted to pay for our operations, part of the operations salary as the mentor to our teachers, came from the trust lens funds, and then the other part went towards math and science textbooks and software. The goal is to focus on increasing those subjects each year, and so that was the goal and that was how it was spent. And then we just have to submit the final report and show that this is how it was spent, and so you guys get to review it and approve it.
So approve this budget.
Mm-hmm.
We know that total supplies and materials, $26,000, is that?
Textbooks and software.
The textbooks and software. I can pull up more specifically.
Well, that's a song.
It's the science books and then some of the Alex.
What does it say? We got funds in a certain amount of money together.
Yep.
This is what it's
meant. We used it specifically for what it was planned for. And if you approve that we did it the right way, we will continue to do it the right way. Yep.
We're approving that this is what we did.
We're approving the plan, I guess.
Approving the final. Anyway, I don't remember. Let me see if I can find the exact thing.
Because it is already done.
It is already done.
So this is basically how we spent the money.
This is how we spent the money, and it was according to the plan.
According to the plan.
And it was. We actually did receive. The original budget was about $44,000, so we did receive a little more than $3,000 additional dollars, and we just put that into the supplies and materials to cover the textbooks and software.
That's good. That is a state funding school trust land program. It is.
So the state owns land that's held in trust that creates revenue, and so it's distributed to all the schools. And so we get that funding, but because we have the funding, there are certain requirements that we have to meet.
Is that variable each year based upon any of our performance? Or
if it's a variable at all, it has to do with the number of Title I students in our school.
So it's pretty much set. They set
it's preset. It has increased each year a little bit, mm-hmm. but it's been a good stream to fund some of these.
So either the school gets it or they don't.
Based upon the size of school, number of students.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So you've been on the committee to mm-hmm. draft this. And
yeah.
What's your recommendation?
I mean, we use what we plan to use it for, so.
So this is as planned?
Yeah.
So any questions on how we spend it? Or you the best person to direct those questions to?
Yeah.
Motion to approve.
All in favor of approving the school land trust, vote yes. Say yes, Ben.
Yes.
All opposed, say no. So the vote is unanimous. It has been approved by the board. That's the last item on our agenda. And so we're going to have a motion to close.
A motion to close.
Second.
All in favor of closing the board meeting, say yes.
Yes.
All opposed, say no. Board meeting is closed.